The Holy Gospel according to the first chapter of Mark. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Advent is a time of preparation and expectation as we wait for the coming of Christ. In Advent, we reflect on the themes of hope, peace, joy, love, which is to get us ready for the world that Christ has entered. Today, we light the candle of hope because Advent is all about hope. But here's the thing. Hope isn't something you can manufacture. We can't just try to be more hopeful. Hope doesn't come with the power of positive thinking. It's been said that hope is the power of being cheerful in circumstances that we know to be desperate. Hope is not some blissful ignorance or wishful thinking. It's a subversive type of cheerfulness that refuses to let circumstances triumph over courage, doubt overcome faith, or adversity overcome compassion. It's not easy. Hope isn't our default setting. When we encounter obstacles, our first emotion isn't usually hope. Hope requires a strength that comes from focusing on a greater vision than what is wrong. Now, we may not be able to figure everything out, but we can face whatever comes our way because we have a God who loved this world enough to come and join it. We trust that when Jesus said, "Behold, I am making all things new," he meant it. Today, on this second Sunday of Advent, we're invited to prepare our hearts and minds for yet another Christmas, another coming of the Christ child. We want to feel expectant and hopeful. This is the preparation, or as our gospel set puts it, making straight the way. Now is the time to prepare. And we are a nation of preparers. We spend years in school, perhaps college, or some of us graduate school, to prepare for the future that will be ours. We go together for months or even years before the proposal. Then we spend months preparing the wedding. And as adults, whether we're single or building a family, we scrimp and save for our vacation or for that dream home, or we save for our kids' college education. We know all about preparing. So in today's gospel lesson, we meet John the Baptist, the ultimate preparer, if you will. John is quite a guy with his wicked wardrobe, that camel hair gown and leather belt, and his vegan diet of locusts and wild honey. He made quite an impression on the neighborhood. So just as last Sunday we heard about end times, on the second Sunday of Advent we always hear about John the Baptist. Advent is many things, and in many ways, it's a beginning before a beginning. Now, let me explain what I'm talking about. Our text, if you recall, started out, "The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ." Then Mark quotes Isaiah saying, "I'm sending a messenger who will prepare your way." In verse 4, we were told John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness. So John is really the story before the story. But John was one of the, I'm one of those people that likes to get places early. John also arrived early because he had work to do. He has to prepare the way for the one whose way would become the way. This is before disciples, before Jesus had disciples, before John had disciples. So John strikes out alone before anyone is expecting a story to start. But there's a story before the story, before the story. John's parents were Zechariah and Elizabeth. We find their story in the first chapter of Luke. Zechariah was a priest in the temple. He was a Levite, and we're told that he was a righteous man, advanced in age. Elizabeth was a descendant of Aaron. If you remember your Old Testament history, Aaron was one of the priests, the lines of priests. But we're told she was barren and old. Well, one day, Zechariah was chosen by lot to offer sacrifice at the altar. So he entered the Holy of Holies. The angel Gabriel appeared to him and announced that he and Elizabeth would have a son. The boy was to be called John, and he would be great in the sight of the Lord. Now, the angel went on to mention some very specific things. We're told that John must never drink wine or strong drink, and even before his birth, he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. In verse 16, we hear that John will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And in verse 17, we hear that with the strength and the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. There was more dialogue with where Zechariah in Bible speak essentially said, "You've got to be kidding. You do realize that my wife and I are quite old. We're not exactly in our prime child-rearing years." Well, as a result of his doubt, Zechariah became mute. He was unable to speak until the day these things occur. Meanwhile, the people were waiting outside for Zechariah to come out. He was unable to speak. They were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary. And when they did, they realized he couldn't speak, so they realized it was a vision. I find that interesting that he came out of this holy place, he couldn't speak, everyone just assumed it was a vision. If that story sounds familiar, it should, because Elizabeth's situation mirrors the experience of Sarah, Abraham's wife in the Old Testament, far many generations back. We're told that while Sarah laughed at the news that she would be a mother, Elizabeth never doubted. And in a few months, she would share her unexpected experience with Mary, another unexpected mother-to-be. We'll have that story in a couple of weeks. So Elizabeth and Zechariah are among the first to sense that there's a change coming, that Jesus' coming would bring about. Both of them were from priestly families. They represented the best and highest, brightest of the old order. They had devoted their life to serving God under Old Testament law. Then the new order broke in. There's an angel announcement to Zechariah. And a short time later, Elizabeth's cousin Mary came and shared the good news that she would bear the Messiah. This Messiah that the Jews have been waiting for generations was coming. Not only had God answered Zechariah and Elizabeth's personal prayers, their nation's long waiting would soon come to an end as well. Well, as the angel predicted, Zechariah and Elizabeth's son would grow up to prepare the way for Jesus. The old couple was overjoyed to be a part of this new era. In it, they saw not the loss of old ways, but the fulfillment of their dreams. So that's the story before the story before the story. Now, maybe because of Mary and her quietly pondering heart, or this 9-month period where Zechariah couldn't speak, we have this perception that Advent is to be a contemplative, quiet, mellow kind of liturgical season. We've been led to believe that if we want to keep Advent, we need to keep it down, holding our breath until the baby has arrived. But have we really been paying attention? Have we met John? He's found all over Advent, and there is nothing quiet or mellow about this guy. John the Baptizer is a shouter. He's a prophet. He's an agitator. He's the guy out in the wilderness making straight what has been crooked. For John the Baptist to be the beginning before the beginning, there's no doubt that something has begun. Something is on its way. Advent might be a quiet season, but that's only true if you stand a distance from John. John is more of a Pentecost kind of guy, and he isn't shy about letting you know it's time to prepare the way of the Lord. From Isaiah, we hear that preparing the way calls for making the path straight. That's not quiet work. A prophet shouting out in the wilderness is bound to create a ruckus, and any ruckus at some point is going to draw a crowd. And once the crowd shows up and hears the preacher, the crowds got larger. People were getting themselves baptized and repenting and changing the direction of their lives. John was making an impact. There's nothing quiet about what is going on. And it would have been easy for people to believe that this is the story, this is it. John is bringing the people to repentance. He's the fulfillment. The work is done. But then John sets them straight. He says, "You think this is the end? You think this is the power of God? I'm just the opening act. The main event is still coming. This is the beginning of the beginning. I come with water, but one is coming, the one from the true power of God. He will wash the Spirit over you." The crowd thought they had seen all there was to see, but John was quick to tell them, "You ain't seen nothing yet." John knew that despite his popularity, one was coming whose sandals he was not worthy to carry. He knew that for God to continue his work on earth, he, John, had to step aside and allow Christ to begin another preparation, the preparation for his kingdom. So if we really want to prepare during this Advent season, we need to model our lives after John's. Not so much by being a rabble-rouser, standing out on the corner shouting, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord," but rather as one who makes straight the way for the return of our Lord. So how do we do that? Certainly, there are many ways that it could be done, but one is to wholeheartedly offer our lives to God by consciously committing to a deeper commitment and relationship to and with Jesus. The problem is, we find it hard to follow this shepherd named Jesus. We don't want to be led in the paths of righteousness. It goes against our grain. We prefer to go our own way, even though it may lead us straight into trouble. John's call to repent echoes down through the ages to us today. A call to repentance is simply an invitation to change the direction of our lives through confession and contrition so that we can be closer to God. It's not always a 180-degree turn. Sometimes it's just a small little redirection onto the right path. Repentance means that we're willing to admit our mistakes. We're willing to offer them over to God, accept the consequences of our actions, and then leave behind those people or things that are destructive to our relationship with God. Repentance is all about putting all of ourselves in God's hand. Now, another way to make straight the way is turning our focus from ourselves to those around us. Jesus tells us again and again, the greatest of all the commandments, the greatest of all the laws is the law of love, the law of concern for those around us. We, you and I, have an obligation to all those around us to take the skills and resources that we have and make straight the path for others to reach the kingdom by pointing the way, as John did for Jesus. It's so important that we give more of ourselves than just attending worship once a week. It's not just our actions, it's not just our words and prayers. We're called in all things, in word and deed, in prayer, in action, what we say, what we do. We're called to share the Christ story and to draw others into our journey. That's called evangelism, and God intends each and every one of us to be a witness to Jesus Christ. So there we have it. We prepare for Christmas through repentance by turning to our Lord Jesus with all we are and by living a life that reflects our love for others. We weren't created to be on our own. We were created to share our lives with those around us, with family, friends, with the neighbor down the street and across the globe. We were created to share our lives with our God. John the Baptist spent his life preparing for the coming of another. His ministry was only about 3 months long, but think of the impact that he made on all our lives. We're called to do the same. This is not a time to whisper, it's a time to shout. These words may be comforting, but they're meant to be shouted out to be heard all over the crooked paths and noise of despair. It's all about to begin, the story before the story. Those around us need to hear the message that Advent has begun. Make straight the way of the Lord. Amen.